This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, today I continue my sermon series in the Gospel of Luke. And if you recall, last Sunday's sermon text was Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 37, where we learned about the time that Jesus was preaching in a synagogue in the city of Capernaum, and how while he was there, he met a man who had been possessed by demons. And then Jesus rebuked the demon and cast him out of the man. As you recall, the people were amazed. They knew Jesus was somebody special. Even the demons acknowledged that Jesus was the Holy One of God. So what happened after this awesome event at the synagogue in Capernaum? Well, the answer to that question takes us to the first part of today's reading. And today's reading is Luke chapter 4, verses 38 through 44. Luke writes at the beginning, Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. So here we see that at this point in his ministry, Jesus remains in the city of Capernaum, and he stays at the home of Simon. That is Simon Peter, the same Peter who would eventually become the Apostle Peter. But we'll learn more about that in next Sunday's sermon. For now, please note what Luke goes on to write in today's reading. He writes, Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Simon and his family had heard about Jesus and how he had healed many people. They had also just witnessed Jesus rebuking demons and casting them out of a man. In fact, on one other occasion, they saw Jesus work other miracles as well. So it's obvious why they asked Jesus to help this poor sick woman. They believed he could heal her. Luke tells us that Jesus then bends over this woman and rebukes her fever. Now that's interesting. Earlier, Jesus had rebuked the demons. In fact, later on in the future, Jesus will rebuke the wind and the waves, and they will obey him. Now, at first, it seems a bit odd that Jesus would rebuke a fever, because a fever is not a living thing that understands language, is it? But, of course, the same thing happens when later on Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves, because the wind and waves are also non-living things that cannot understand language. So why then does Jesus rebuke these things? Well, my friends, this is Jesus' way of showing us that he is the creator. Remember the book of Genesis? God speaks and things come into existence. God speaks and creation obeys him. Of course, we know that after Adam and Eve sinned, God's very good creation became twisted and broken. That's why we get fevers and other diseases or injuries. That's why tornado winds destroy whole cities and why tsunami waves kill thousands of people. This world is broken by our sin against God. But the good news is that Jesus came into this world to heal this broken creation. And so Jesus rebukes this woman's fever, and what happens? She's instantly cured. And then what does she do? Luke says she gets up, and at once she begins to serve others. You see, my friends, that's how God wants us to use the good health that he gives us. He wants us to serve others as he serves us. Now, before I go on with today's reading, I want to address something that at this point is probably going on within your minds right now. Simply put, If Jesus came into this world to heal this broken creation, and if all Jesus has to do is speak, and the result will be that the catastrophes and the diseases and the injuries that plague us would simply go away, then why doesn't Jesus just do that for us? First of all, Jesus does do that for us more often than we probably realize. I mean, think about it. Most of us here have enjoyed many more days of pleasure and safety and health than we have experienced times of pain and danger or disease. In this fallen world, we should expect nothing but pain and sorrow and death. But the fact is, God gives us many, many days of joy and peace and health. God is good. The next thing we need to understand is that Jesus did not always heal people when he was on this earth, and he does not always heal people today. In fact, we all have to die eventually. Even the people that Jesus healed while he was on earth, even they eventually grew old or got sick again, and they all died. You see, sometimes it is God's will to allow us to suffer various trials. But in the midst of those trials, God promises to work through our suffering to strengthen our faith in him, and also to give us opportunities to witness to others about the hope that we have in Christ. With that said, let's go on with today's reading. Luke says that when the sun began to set on that same day, many people were brought to Jesus. These people had various sicknesses and injuries, and Luke tells us that he healed them by simply laying his hands on them. In addition, Jesus meets even more people who were possessed by demons. And what did Jesus do? Luke records this. He says, "Demons came out of many people shouting, 'You are the Son of God!' But Jesus rebuked them, and he would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ." Now, what are we to make of this? Well, as we learned last Sunday, Jesus is God, and so he has complete power and authority over the devil and his demons. In fact, that's why the demons screamed in fear and they said, "You are the Son of God." You know what that means? If you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need not fear the devil. The devil may tempt you, the devil may lie to you, but he cannot separate you from the love of Christ. However, one question remains, doesn't it? Luke says that Jesus would not allow the demons to speak, except, of course, for allowing them to say that he was the Son of God. But the reason he would not allow them to say anything else, Luke says, is that they knew he was the Christ. What's going on here? Well, as I explained before, that word Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. And both the words Messiah and Christ mean the same thing. They mean the Anointed One. Now, in the Old Testament, prophets and priests and kings were anointed with perfumed oil in a public ceremony to show everybody that they had been chosen by God for that office. Well, fast forward to Jesus' baptism. Remember, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit to show everyone there that he had been chosen by God to be the Savior of sinners. So Jesus is the promised Christ. But if that's true, then why did Jesus not allow the demons to talk about him being the promised Christ? The reason is that Jesus knew the demons would lie about why he had come. You see, the demons knew that the people of his day were already confused about the reason that the Christ was supposed to come. You see, many of the Jews in Jesus' day thought of the Christ as more of an earthly Savior. He was coming to heal our diseases, to rescue us from poverty, and more than anything to destroy our enemies. And back then it would have been the oppressive Roman Empire. That's right. That's why the Christ has come. He has come to heal our diseases, to rescue us from poverty and give us prosperity, and to defeat our enemies. At least that's what the people thought about the Christ's mission. And the demons were more than willing to encourage that misunderstanding. So Jesus would not allow them to speak any further. You see, what you need to understand is that even though Jesus did heal some people, that was not the primary reason that he came. In fact, his healing miracles were not to be ends in themselves. They were meant to be signs that he was the Christ, who had come to give them a far greater healing than physical healing. You see, the primary reason Jesus came was to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins that only he could provide. You see, my friends, even though God knows we have physical needs, he also knows that physical healing, physical prosperity, and even the destruction of our earthly enemies will do us absolutely no good if we are still spiritually infected by sin. You might remember our sermon hymn was almost a prayer, asking God to heal us of the leprosy of sin. You see, we need to realize that we are sinners and that we are our own worst enemies. And so unless we repent of our sin and trust in Jesus for forgiveness, we remain under the dominion of the devil and we have no hope. So with that understood, Luke then tells us what Jesus does the next morning. And this is important, so pay attention. At daybreak, Jesus goes out to a solitary place, very likely to pray. Luke then tells us that people were looking for Jesus. And when they found Jesus, Luke says that they tried to keep him from leaving them. I can't blame them, really. I mean, if you find a guy who can heal all your diseases, you're not going to want to let him go, are you? But then Luke records how Jesus responds. Listen, Jesus says to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And then Luke adds this commentary. He says, and Jesus kept on preaching. He kept on preaching. Now, after hearing all this, how does this information apply to us today? Well, first of all, we've learned who Jesus is. The demon said, you are the Son of God. We've also learned that Jesus has the power to heal our physical problems. He has the power to rescue us from the devil. In addition, we've learned that Jesus is the Christ, the promised Savior. And the main reason he came into this world was to preach to us repentance and the forgiveness of sins that we have through his death on the cross for us. And so Jesus is our God and Savior. Not only does he provide for our physical needs as he sees best, not only does he protect us from the devil and his demons, but even more, Jesus continues to preach to us through his word. That's right, through the preaching of his word, he tells you to repent of your rebellion against God's plan for your life and to trust in him for forgiveness and the hope of eternal life and God's love. And Jesus gives you these things because he is the one who died and rose for you. However, at this point, I want you to focus on what Jesus said to those people in Capernaum. He said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And then Luke adds, and he kept on preaching. How does this apply to us? Well, you know, sometimes we're like the people in Capernaum, aren't we? We would like to keep Jesus all to ourselves. You know the attitude. As long as our physical and spiritual needs are met, we're satisfied. But my friends, Jesus wants us to repent of that selfishness and to have a far bigger vision of his mission. Let me give you an example of how the devil can blind us to that mission. A couple years ago, our district president was visiting one of our North Dakota congregations. He was telling me about this visit. He spoke with them about how they had a great opportunity to reach out into their community and share the gospel with other people. Suddenly, one of the members of the congregation stood up, and in a very indignant voice, he said, "Reverend, we built this church for ourselves. We don't want a bunch of new people coming to our congregation and changing everything. We're happy the way things are." My district president's jaw almost dropped to the ground. My friends, Jesus has given our congregation so many blessings. Not only does Jesus bless the members of Concordia by providing for our physical needs and protecting us from evil, Jesus also gives us countless spiritual blessings. Jesus uses me to baptize people in his name, and thereby God adopts them as his own. Jesus uses me to preach and teach his word to you. Jesus uses me to administer the Lord's Supper to you, whereby you receive the very body and blood of your Savior to assure you that you're forgiven and that he's with you always to the very end of the age. My friends, we are very blessed. However, in the midst of all this blessing, the temptation is for us to keep Jesus all to ourselves. You know, as long as our physical and spiritual needs are met, we're satisfied. But Jesus doesn't want us to be satisfied with that. He wants us to repent of our selfishness and to share his vision, to keep on preaching to others also. My friends, by the grace of God, Concordia has been doing just that. I thank God for all the ways he has allowed our congregation to focus beyond ourselves in recent years. For example, we have added staff to our congregation so that more ministry can be done not only with our own members, but also with people in our community, especially those who do not know the Lord. Our mission giving has more than doubled in the past 7 years. Praise the Lord for that. In addition, we're sponsoring an orphan in Africa. We've even given additional money to help build orphanages for many other children like her. By the grace of God, we've given special gifts for Minot Flood Relief and for other ministries throughout our district and beyond. In the past few years, we have become more engaged with our community than ever before. My friends, my prayer is that God will continue to give our congregation a vision for mission, so that through us, Jesus can keep on preaching to others who need to hear the gospel. In fact, even though God uses me, your pastor, to baptize, to preach, to teach, to administer the Lord's Supper, what you need to understand is that God also plans to use you so that he can keep on preaching in this world. Do you remember our first reading from the book of Acts? When persecution broke out against the Christians in Jerusalem, Luke tells us that many of the lay people were scattered. They went in all directions, fleeing for their lives. But you know what happened? Luke says that they preached the word of God wherever they went. God worked through that horrible tragedy in their lives to give them opportunities to be witnesses for Jesus. The point is, it wasn't just the pastors who were preaching. God also used the lay people to keep on preaching. My friends, just imagine this. Imagine how we can bless our community if you take what you learn here and then share it with others when God gives you the opportunity. In fact, I'm totally positive that each one of you knows at least one person who doesn't attend church. I'm positive that each one of you knows at least one person who doesn't know the Lord, doesn't know how to be saved from sin or death. What should you do? Ask God to help you become friends with that person. Earn his or her trust. Help them with any needs they may have. Let them know you care. And then pray that God would give you a chance to share the good news about Jesus with that person. God will thereby work through your witness to bless many people. In closing, let me say again that Jesus has blessed us members of Concordia in so many ways. And I know that Jesus will continue to bless our congregation. We can always thank God for that. But we especially need to remember those final words of our gospel reading. And he kept on preaching. Jesus wants to keep on preaching today as well, so that more and more people may hear the good news. More than ever, people in our country need to hear the good news. In fact, things have got so bad in America that Christians in Africa are actually sending missionaries here. We have a mission field right in our own town. And God will use us to make sure that his preaching goes out into our community and beyond. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.